Okay, good evening. This is David Klein for the Southern Oral History Program's Long Civil Rights Movement Project and for the Economic Justice section of this project. And I'm in Louisville on the 1st of June, 2006, and with Ms. Omuga Hodges here in Louisville. And if you could just introduce yourself, tell me where you were born and your age.
Okay, I'm Lola Hodges. I'm at the age of 67 years old. I'm originally was born in Jefferson County.
Mm-hmm. That is. Okay. And can you just tell me a little bit about your family? And
I'm a mother of seven children. In my second marriage, my last husband deceased April the 7th of last year. Mm. He passed away. Mm-hmm. So now I'm a widow.
Mm-hmm. Was that Mr. McIntyre? Because I was...
No, that was Mr. Hodges.
Mr. Hodges,
see,
okay.
See, I had two marriages, the McIntyre. When I first began at Port Duval, I was a McIntyre.
Okay, because that was the name that Sterling Neal gave me.
Yeah, so I married later on to Hodges. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay. But then the 5 years after being there at the health center, I think it was 5 years. I can't remember that,
right.
But it was about 5 years.
Right. So you're born and raised in this area?
Born and raised in this area. In fact, I was born and raised on the street they call 9th Street in Louisville, Kentucky. It was in the western part of Louisville. Mm-hmm. I moved down in the Carter Home Project at the age of 15 years old. And which was called Carter Home at that time.
And that is in this, that was in this neighborhood.
It was in
right.
this area.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And can you tell me about your parents and your family living in the Carter Homes? How many brothers and sisters?
I was raised by my mother. I had two brothers and three sisters.
And you lived in Carter Homes from the age of 15?
From the age of 15.
15 on. Mm-hmm. And what was that like growing up in Louisville and specifically
growing up,
home?
Well, when we first moved down here, we thought we was moving into a hotel.
Oh, yeah?
Because we had lived in a one-cellar bedroom, you know. Mm. At that time, it was only four of us. In fact, before we moved to Carter Home, we stayed with my grandmother. Half of us stayed with our grandmother, and the other half stayed with my mother.
On 9th Street.
And on 9th Street, we lived with my grandmother, who practically raised all of us, you know. And my mother lived just right around the corner, but she kept half of us at her house. And the other half lived at my grandmother's house. So at my grandmother's house was me and my sister and one brother. And so we lived there until we moved into Carter Home with my mother. Mm-hmm. And we lived right on 32nd Street, which was called 32nd Street at that time. In fact, we lived on Duval Drive. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was 3254 Duval Drive, okay, where we lived at. Mm-hmm. And I lived there until I married Mr. McIntyre, which I was the age of 16 then.
Oh, really?
When I married. Okay, I was 16. Me and Mrs. McIntyre stayed together about 4 years. Then we separated. I had Linda running, four kids then. Mm-hmm. And then I met Mr. Hodges and I married him and had three kids by him.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So seven.
So seven altogether.
And what about your schooling? Which schools did you go to?
I went to Duval. Mm-hmm. Well, I went to public school. I went to Paul Lawrence Dunbar. From Paul Lawrence Dunbar to Duval High School. No, I'm sorry. Madison Junior High School. Then we moved into project. We went to what we call Duval Junior High School. Mm-hmm. Then I did not finish school. I got my GED through Shawnee Adult Education Center.
Oh, okay. And started working.
Then started working.
And what was your first job?
My first job was we trained. Port Duval opened in the year of 1968, February of 1968.
That's the Duval, the health center.
Health center.
Right.
I started in June of 1968. We were trained as nurses' aides at that time. We were considered as nurses' aides. Before that, I also sat on the board. I sat on the Port Duval neighborhood.
Even before you got the job?
I got the job, I sat on. I've done a lot of community work, you know, with getting the health center started, you know.
Can you tell me about that? About how they came around, find out what the needs were? Yeah, just all the way back to the beginning.
Well, with Barb, we had so many meetings at different places to try to get this community started, especially the health center started. We, at the time, who was the president? John F. Kennedy, I believe, was the president. So we was meeting and we contacted Harvey Sloan, who was in Public Health Service. Mm-hmm. So we met with him and something, things went on till he came in and then he started getting the health center together. He really did. Mm-hmm. And from then on, we had meetings, and then the health center was open, like I said, in the year, and he became the first director of the health center.
So they would have community meetings to find out what concerns were?
What concerned our neighborhood here at Port Duval.
Right.
In the era of Port Duval.
And so I imagine that health was a big concern.
Yeah, health was a big, jobs and health and housing. Mm-hmm. That's the main thing.
So at that time, I'm sorry, but before the health center was built, where could people get their health needs met?
Well, you had to go to, we used to have in the Southwick, as I remember, in the Southwick, we used to have a public health center. We gave our children their immunizations. Mm-hmm. The rest of it, we had to go to Louisville General Hospital.
Where you'd wait all day.
We really didn't have any place really to go for Louisville General. That I can remember was Louisville General Hospital.
Right.
We didn't have neighborhood clinics. We only had the immunization clinic for the baby well clinic, they used to call it.
Right.
And then we felt that we needed a clinic for our community so they wouldn't have to go so far to a doctor and wait so long to be seen at the hospital.
Were there other concerns besides a neighborhood health center that you on the board were talking about?
No, we talked about job and housing. Of course, that was called a home in Southwick. Mm-hmm. Which called a home was built first, and then, of course, Southwick was built after called a home was. We talked about that and housing and jobs and different things. Mm-hmm. But the main thing was housing, jobs, and health center. Mm-hmm. And we all, I got to think, we all met on so many things at the time, because I was at one meeting where Robert Kennedy was killed, and we was at one meeting. Hmm. And we got the news about him killing, and because like I said, we had started the board, and the board met, and they was mostly talking about at that time houses and health, that's the only thing I can kind of remember. Mm-hmm.
And this was War on Poverty money that was coming into play?
Money that was coming. Yeah. And HUD, HUD, was the people that we was really trying to get to fund us for the health center. Mm-hmm. Really was HUD. Of course, after that, I didn't get really too much involved with Dr. Harvey Sloan was in head of that.
I can put it back up. There we go. So Dr. Sloan was the head?
What's helping us get the together along with who else was there? we went to Washington, D.C. We traveled quite a bit, tried to get this program started, you know, and we went on different trips to Washington, Nashville. We also were, at the time, we was interested in seeing how other health center worked. Mm-hmm. And we would go to the one that was first started by, I think HUD was, I mean, where they was funded by HUD was, oh, I can't even think of the clinic, in Nashville, Tennessee. I don't know whether you're familiar with that.
No, I'm not.
It was, can't even really think of the name now. Well, we went to see how that was modeling it, you know, and how they had done that one and got theirs started. And
she looked at other models.
So to get this one started down here at Park Duval.
And so they were even before you had the health center, they were funding you and the board to do this traveling?
No, not really. It was after we got it. What we had was a service center. Now, this was Park Duval Neighborhood Service Center. It was the umbrella. And the health center at that time, to think about the health center, it was under the umbrella of the community, Park Duval Community Neighborhood Center. That's what it was called.
Right. So which one actually opened first?
The community, the Park Duval Neighborhood Service Center.
Opened first.
Opened first.
Okay.
And see, we was the one working to get the health center open up. Of course, then there was other, like I said, we started a nutrition program. But to get our money, we had to go through that program to get money from HUD. We was like the umbrella. And under this umbrella, I can't remember, I'm getting so old. It was so different housing, you say. Nutrition, food balance, health fare. So all this was under this umbrella. Child care was under there. We started our parent child care, where we kept children from newborn, I think, to 2 or 3 before they enter into school. It was a free program that HUD funded for the kids to be kept while their parents worked. We was at the child care center here in the neighborhood service center. Then we had a nutrition program. Then we started talking about the health bill in the Park Duval Community Health Center, which was called then, it was called Park Duval Neighborhood Health Center.
Okay.
It wasn't Park Duval Community Health Center.
Okay.
It was
Neighborhood Health Center.
Neighborhood Health Center.
And you were, and you started working there in June of 68?
Uh-huh.
And as a nurse's aide?
Nurse's aide,
right. And what specifically were you working on?
What was I doing?
Yeah, what was your assignment?
Okay. We was assistant to the doctor. We have the doctor that came in. We was to assist them in whatever they were doing, the health care they was doing. Mm-hmm. We went on a training program for about, maybe 12 weeks. Can't remember the second week. But we went into a training program to learn what to do, to be trained. And then we went up on the, well, at first we was in a trailer. But we had a dentist. Oh, Lord, it's so many years ago. We had the dental. And one time when we first started, we only had one doctor who was Dr. Walls. He took care of the children and the adults. And we was in one big trailer. Then they decided to tear down the first 3 buildings of the project. That was number 1, 2, and 3 to build the health center. Did that come off again?
No, I just wanted to hear. Okay.
To build a health center, they took 3 buildings.
From Carter?
From the project.
From Carter?
From Carter Home.
Okay. Right.
They tore it down and made it into a clinic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with those 3 rooms. Mm-hmm. Plus, we had a trailer. Then we done public health work, where people went out in the neighborhood to see about patients. We also had residents. We had people who volunteered at first to go out to see if we needed these, if we needed the neighborhood health center. Mm-hmm. And they went out. And then they enrolled people to come into the clinic.
So really going door to door.
Door to door. They went door to door to re-enlist people to come to the health center. And then we added another doctor. Was able to take care of the children. That was Dr. White and Dr. Walls, who was the first doctor we had. And from then on, we started getting doctors and things to come in. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of the clinic that we used. There we got most of Dr. Mahara. Mahara Clinic. From my understanding, and you'll probably get some more research from somebody else, they was the modeling center that H.U. Hood had furnished. They was the first clinic that they entered this setting. Mm. What you call neighborhood centers, they was the first center that HUD.
Which one was the first?
It was in Nashville, Tennessee.
In Nashville, right.
And it was what I said, Mahara. Mm-hmm. And on to Mahara was a medical center, doctors where they went to train to be doctors, Mahara College. And then they went on and made a addition, health center to the college. So we, when we first started, we got most of our doctors from Mahara College. In fact, Dr. Walls, that's where he was from.
Right.
Dr. Howard was from Howard University. I don't know how he got there because that wasn't my job. Okay.
So there was a sense then, or was there, that you were, this was part of a national movement or change in terms of community health?
Yeah. We felt that, I guess being black, we needed a service where our people could be given good health care. And of course, you know, the pollution around here has been a problem ever since we've been in the West End with the plants around. So it was causing a lot of health problems for our children and adults. So we needed a place where they could come and get good service. And we started out with the problem when we had funding. We were trained, like me, and nurses' aides and residents of this community, we would train them to follow their education, give them a chance to go into being RNs, give them the opportunity to better their education.
Right. So were most of the staff like you from the area?
From the community.
From the community.
Yeah, most of us from the community. Most of us that worked there was from the community. We, even the nurses was just, I would say, everybody from the first beginning was community people that they used. Like the problem of it was, if we had been funding more money, was to let us fund our education, give us a chance to get a job, move on, let somebody else come in, get a job, and move on too.
Right.
But so happened. Right. We stayed there. Because one thing, the funding ran out. You know, money ran out after 4 or 5 years, you know. We did, fortunately, some of them did get to go and follow their education from the program at Port Duval. So they was able to go and get the better education.
Yeah.
But that was the purpose of having us, not for us just to stay there, really was to get us education to move on to a better thing. And I, unfortunately, I can't blame anybody but myself for not taking that opportunity to maybe be the head nurse at Port Duval right today, because they did give me an opportunity one time to follow my education. but with a family, you know.
Mm-hmm. But you've had a long, consistent career there, though. You've been able to have a long career there for 30-something years, right? Yeah.
Because, see, I work, I think I have been out. I took, the first time I left the health center, I left because I hadn't gotten sick. And after I had my surgery, I left, but I returned. Mm-hmm. And then the second time I left, which over the period of time, I was gone like 3 years out of the whole 40 years that I've been there. My second husband was a baker. Mm-hmm. So we opened up our own business. And
in the neighborhood? Or
no, we opened it up. Well, it was in the, not in this neighborhood, but we opened it up in Market Street, which was like in the Portland era, I would say then.
Okay.
And of course, that didn't work out, so I returned back to the health center.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think, the health center was funded by Warren Poverty money at first, mm-hmm. as was the neighborhood center. Mm-hmm. And then after not too long, that money dried up, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the neighborhood center parts of the neighborhood center anyway started to fold, I believe. But did...
No, we never did actually fold. But I think what we started doing, and that's why I didn't want to really get it, from my understanding, and we can take this out if it's not what I think it was,
right,
you know, okay?
Right.
It was really that we started charging fees. See, when we first started out, we was funding, getting a lot of money from the government, and then the government cut us off. And then we had to start really charging for the service by a fee scale.
I see.
And we still going by the fee scale.
Okay.
But to keep the place open, we did have to move on to charging. Mm. But first, getting a person to come there and get their service for nothing.
So do you have private funding as well, or corporate or foundation funding that keeps it open?
I'm not in that position to know really where.
I'm going to be talking to other people too, so I can ask.
Yeah,
them
the money come from. I really don't know, but I'm sure that we do some private. I don't even know whether we even get anything from the state.
Hmm.
You know.
Right.
I'm not sure we're getting. I'm not really know anything about that part. Cause me, I don't get involved in that situation where money come from and where it goes at. I never get myself involved in that.
Right.
But I do know that we had to get a feeding scale to keep moving out. Of course, the government quit funding, you know, so much money. And I still don't know what the government fund or what they do not fund right now. You know, I don't even know where they fund anymore, you know.
So can you tell me a little bit about what changes you've seen specifically at the health center over these many years?
Oh, we have been able to see more people. We've been able to give excellent service. You know, and the staff as a whole, we are taught to please the patient first, mm-hmm. you know, so we are there with a smile every day. We are there, and that has made a great big difference with people coming to our center. It's because they come to our center, and also I think it helped because people that do come to our center, some of them are familiar from this part. Mm-hmm. They come back to Port Duval. Even if they leave, they sooner or later, they come back because their face is still there that they can see and know.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't changed.
So even if they're living somewhere else, they might come back to the health center.
They often come back. They really come back to Port Duval. Even those that have had advanced getting jobs with private insurance companies, you know, and have left us, they return back when they don't have any more insurance because they feel we're going to be there to serve them, and we do our best to serve them. And I find that as a remarkable thing, because I've known people that was 15 or 20 years that have left there, But they know if they need any help, they always can come back to Park Duval Community Health Center to get some help. I think it's one reason because some of the staff is still there. They're familiar with the people there. They feel welcome when they come in because they're seeing the same faces, you know. So we have done a whole lot of improving there in with the building. We moved from the old building to this new building about 4 years ago.
Right, right.
So we was in the old building where we originally started. And so we moved over to this new building. So that brightened up our day, you know. Mm. And it brought more people in. And we still getting people coming in from the neighborhood that are moving in, the new developing down here. We're still getting them involved and coming to the health center. So I think we really is doing a wonderful job there, you know.
So can you tell me a little bit about that new development? Because you've seen a lot of changes in this neighborhood then over the years in terms of the housing.
And to be honest, at first I thought it was going to be a very fair. I saw why they want to tear the project down. What we going to do? We going to have this and we going to have that. You know, and we're going to have up-to-date people and we ain't going to feel like we at home, you know, because of new development. But then after they tore down everything and built these beautiful homes, it's just amazing how nice it looked down here, you know. And we're getting people that have lived maybe in the east end of town that have come down here to live because these houses are nice. The neighborhood has changed. You know, being down here, we used to have a very dangerous situation, I would say, you know. People didn't want to come down here because of the dope and all the shooting and things like that. So with them tearing down the project, it did really improve this area 100%. It made people feel like they need to come down, live in a decent. Why would I ever think I live in a building like this, you know?
Can you compare, can you just describe where you, what the housing was that you had before compared to this? Because well, we're, or describe this for us, because we're on.
Well, I was blessed. I was safe to live in a house where it wasn't too bad, but it was, I want to say, we were still, every time anybody talked about 30, I lived on 32nd Street. It's a funny thing, I have never moved far from 32nd Street. I always have lived 32nd Street. So it was kind of amazing because everybody didn't want to aim at the health center. They would say, well, we don't want to come down here because every time something happened, shooting down here, people getting killed. But you know, the whole time that we've been at Park Duval, I must say that, in the health center business, we've never been robbed. We've never been anybody coming in there to be violent. So, and I think one reason that was because we lived in it. Some of us that worked in here lived in this community. And so the guys that was bad guys, you want to say, they still respected us because they got their help as kids from us.
Right.
So that made them respect us a little bit better.
Sure.
If it had been a lot of new people here, we might have had problems. But most of the kids that growed up became, what you want to say, bad kids or trouble kids I use. They come to help center, they respect us with very high they respect. Well, I had kids that growed up with them. And they'd come in, Miss McIntyre, they would call me by the first kids, or Miss Hodges, you know. And we just never didn't have any violence in the health center surrounding at all. And I believe that was one reason because we had people there, their kids had grown up with our kids, and when they got violent thoughts, they just didn't bother us, you know. And I tell them now, I think the respect that you show even to the younger generation coming up now, if you respect them, they are going to respect you. You know, so people wonder why I can walk out of here, and I don't say I won't never get hurt by anybody. But most guys, most time I walk down the street, it's just different. Mm-hmm. You don't have the fear you used to have.
Mm-hmm. Now, right.
And getting back to these apartment, it was, I think me and my husband lived on 32nd Street because all our kids had gotten grown. And we kind of looked for a place where, bless me, where we could be comfortable with our kids wanting to come and stay with you all the time, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I just happened, the rubber house we lived in, the man wanted to get rid of it anyway and build something else, he said. So I applied for this building over here, and that's been the most, it's so nice, quiet. Mm. And all my life, I would have never thought I'd live in a comfortable place mm-hmm. like this. I am in a community mm. like this because no matter what they say, it is much quieter down here. Mm. It's more peaceful down here. You don't have the violence that you had after they tore the project down. And I think maybe, and we still have some of the people, don't misunderstand me, that was raised down here that have had children to grow up and have had children. Mm-hmm. But still, they could respect this community. They don't want to see it destroyed anymore.
Right, right.
They want to keep it.
Looking like this.
Looking like this. Because we've been the talk of the town of Louisville for so many years.
Right.
When they built this, this was just like, you give them, that's a new chance. We're going to keep it. We're going to keep our yards clean. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep our building clean. We're going to keep the people that live over there, they're keep their yards nice. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have cars parked in the...
Right.
Old broken down cars in the driveway. So it really have gave us a love to live in life, you know, to say, well, we did live long enough to live decent, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's one good thing about the whole thing.
How long have you been in this?
3 years.
3 years. And this was new construction along with the whole...
This was new construction along with the whole thing.
Right. And are these apartments privately owned or subsidized? Or how does this building work?
Well, you know, HU...
or is it a
HUD funds some of this.
Yeah.
They fund some of it. In this particular building I'm in... they have subsidized pay, you know, some people pay lower rent. And they are kind of divided from my understanding is that housing has, House Authority has some part of this. Mm-hmm. And then HUD has part of it. Then private owned part of it. And you know, they're building another one up in the East End, like this one.
Right.
But it took Clarkdale. And toy it
down,
and they're going to build that. But I think now that they need to destroy. At first, I didn't think so, but I think they do need to get rid of the public housing.
And do more like this.
And do more.
Yeah. Why do you think that?
Because I think people will respect it more, because some people haven't had the life to live decent, you know. Mm. And I think with really my thing is with the young folks of the day, it's not so much, we just, as I always say, I'm an old fashioned person. We have just not learned to raise our kids like we was raised. To learn to do without when you ain't got, you don't have got to steal, do the best you can do with what you got.
Right.
And then one day if you work for it, you can have better things in life. So that's what I try to teach my kids, was to have a better chance. And lots of people said that you can't raise a child without a father, need a father, man in the house. When I was raised up, as I said, by my grandmother mostly, and I was raised up on standards to respect other people and to have to live with things that I didn't have until I got a job. And I tell people now, and I have the girls on the job laughing now, I got to learn how not to spend so much money. Because I never had the opportunity to have anything bringing up 7 kids. Because I always wanted them to have what they needed. Mm. And I done without. So now that I'm working, get my Social Security, I got a little extra money to have fun with.
Right.
And I found myself, oh, I don't spend too much money. I got to save, you know.
Right.
Save for a rainy day. But it just gives me a good uplift feeling. I'm in a good time now.
Well, you've earned it now, right.
I didn't never have, you know.
Right.
And I have really enjoyed that part of life.
Right.
And I can go away saying now, you know, I don't regret anything. You know?
Right.
I'm having quite a good time.
I'm going to move that microphone up a little bit. I just, because I don't want it to get lost in there.
Well, I can help you, and I'm getting kind of old and forgetful.
No, this has been wonderful.
But well, I have loved being a part of Port Duval Health Center. And to me, that's been a great help to this community and reaching out to people. Because we're still reaching. Mm. We're still trying to reach out, teaching people that they need to take care of their blood pressure, their diabetes, because as black people, we do not take our illness, now this is just my belief, as seriously as we should. We have said that we have lived on Fat Joe bacon, putting a lot of salt, we just got to have seasoned food. And since I've been in the health field, I realized that this is what damages our cells in our body.
Mm-hmm.
It's not having, not eating the proper food. So now at the health center, we tried to, as always, we've had a nutrition department, but we tried to educate people on how to eat proper food.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to different health fairs now. We do. And carry material out and try to open up people's eyes on getting better health care, taking better care of themselves. So we do quite a bit of those now, you know, trying to get out and make sure people can get good health care.
Right.
So we have done great things there, you know.
Can you tell me a little more about, you mentioned the dirty air, and we're very close to Rubbertown here.
Yeah, now. Because I'm a smoker, and I tell everybody I ain't gained too much saying about it. But I do know at nighttime, when, even believe it or not, since they build these houses and that, I don't smell just as much.
Oh, really?
As I did from the parkway. But you still go by the parkway, you can leave here now. And the smell is just terrible.
Mm.
We used to not leave our windows open at night because of the smell. It would be so bad. And I can reason, because I can't say, and I wouldn't dare say it, that the air killed me cancer, because I'm smoking. I got so many things against me that
right.
I can't say. But I could see where it would do plenty of damage to people because the air just stale. You can wake up in the morning, there'll be white stuff all over people's cars, you know, from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got trains that just travel through our air with all kind of toxins.
So would you see lots of asthma problems or lung breathing problems at the health clinic?
Yeah, we see quite a few of those people. And it so happened now that we have where we can try to get them inhalers.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have quite a few people with asthma and bronchial problems in this surrounding. I mean, a bunch of folks, you know. And I can understand. Now, my daughter do not smoke, but she has a very, she lives right over in this vicinity. She cannot hardly breathe at times. She has to take an inhaler. I have a granddaughter with sleep. She doesn't smoke, so you can't say it
right.
From smoking. These are people that don't smoke that has very bad breathing problems. And I always got to have inhaler. And you know another reason, if you poor, and I find out this too, working at the health center, sometimes it's no point in people ain't coming to the doctor, get a prescription, walk out the door, and don't have the money to pay for the prescription.
Right.
And I don't know what is happening. It's happening. I haven't been able to see any improvement yet on the new province for the 65 and over people. Yes, I can't speak too much. And I hope that that really have helped them, because some people do not have enough money to get their medicine. So why come to the doctor?
Right, and it's so expensive, right?
It's so expensive. Mm. So now we do, over to the health center, have a program where I can, and I'm sometimes in charge of that, doing that. It's getting people to get their medicine through these partnerships, programs, where we can mail the application out there, send them their free medicine for a year,
right,
according to their income. Right. So lots of people is getting benefit that's not under 65 or under my age, or people that's in 20 and 21 that does not have an income, they still can qualify for this partnership. And that's another thing I don't think people, and that's a bad thing, because too, I find out that people go to the private doctors. They don't want to take time to fill these papers out.
Yeah.
To get this medicine for these people. But they have so many opportunity to order medicine for people that is not able to pay for their medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing, we got that program over there that we do try to get free medicine through the partnership program.
Right.
But I found out that the private doctor don't want to even fool with the paperwork.
Right. Can you put pressure on them, or it's
no, yeah. You can't really, you know, of course I couldn't get involved in right. that, but.
But that's where the health center can, so that's can, where the health center you know, can. Do some more good.
Because I've even had to take money out of my pocket, you know, to help a person get their medicine, because I know what's the part of you coming to the doctor and you have no money. We don't treat you, giving you prescriptions, and you can't even buy your medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And of course over there, our medicine is cheaper. We don't have everything. But we do have medicine that they can get cheaper than they could
right.
go to the drugstore and get.
Right.
So that's another benefit that they get at the health center. So there's a lot of advantages of coming to a neighborhood center, you know, any of them, ask anybody, because you're going to get a little better help than going to a private doctor. Of course, most of the private doctors you go to, you got to have insurance to go to them anyway.
Right.
And of course, your insurance, my good, I had to pay $20 to get into the doctor's office, $45 just to go to the doctor's office. And often people ask me, well, why don't you retire? You at the age of retired, you can get your Social Security. But I can't really afford to quit. Mm. If I can sit, at least I got insurance and Social Security to fall back on. But if I quit, I only got Social Security, I'm not going to have much benefit. You know, so you almost got to keep working to live.
Mm-hmm. So you think you'll just keep going and as
just
long as you can?
Going till you go, you know. I tell anybody, it's because it's expensive to live now.
Mm.
It really is. When you haven't got anything. So that's why I tell my kids now, I say, you know, I say, y'all spending money on furniture, on foxes, stuff. I got a great granddaughter that, Boy, she changes her furniture look like every 6 months. Hmm. I said, you better start saving. You a capper. She has nothing in saving. Hmm. And I said, you better put some money up. Because you get your age, you might not be able to get Social Security.
Right. Yeah, I know.
So, you know, you need to start thinking about the future saving. But you can tell them, but they, you know, so it's been really improving in this neighborhood remarkable. I can't even explain how different it is. It's just so much, you know, sometimes I walk way down there where Southwest used to be, you would say Southway. If you didn't know it, you wouldn't even know you're on the same street. Mm-hmm. The project was set.
Right.
It's just such an improvement, like I say, and they're taking well care of their houses. They respect it. They got new places to live.
Mm-hmm.
So that when I look at that, I say, great, dog, we have come a long way from where we was. Because mm-hmm. the project was getting where, like I say, all different type of people. Kids are growing up, and I guess they had grown up into, I don't know how they got so far away. I can't even explain it because I just don't understand it myself. How you can raise a different way and just go a different way. But I know psychologists, I don't even know why their mind mm-hmm. goes that way. But it's quite a bit of decent people that lived here when the project was living, but wasn't given the chance to really, really improve themselves.
Right, right.
And it was jobs, you know, different things that kept them from getting, but seemed like if they was able to move back, see, when they built this, you was able to move if you didn't have a criminal background and all that stuff. You was able to move back into a decent part of here. You were given a chance to move back into one of these houses.
Right. So where did you go in the meantime when they were? Oh, you were in a private house before.
I was in a private house.
So you didn't have to worry about that.
But now his sister, who lived in the project, where did they put her up at that? I think she had to go to a house, but she was able to move. She moved back.
She's back in here. Yeah.
She's back in here. I don't really know where. I can't speak because I really don't remember where they went at, those that wasn't able. But some of them, yes, I do. Some of them was able to go into other projects like mm-hmm. Beaches Tours and Clarkdale and Shepherd's Square. They did move them from one mm-hmm. project to another project. The adventure, I think they need to get rid of all of them and make the people feel better. I don't think you have so much crime mm-hmm. if they can just live a different place.
What happened, do you think, to that element that had been here, the drug dealers and the crime? When people were put out of here for the reconstruction, where did those people go? And
they just moved into another place.
Just another neighborhood.
Just another neighborhood to destroy. Mm. That's why I say, I think the whole city, especially the East End, wherever the project is, that they need to get rid of all of them, because I think even the people that live here that might have been, what you want to call, might have been on the wrong side of the track, if they got an opportunity to get back in here, they gave them a new look on life. I'm going to keep this nice. I'm not going to get involved in crime. I ain't their children. If the adult was able to move back in here, and I don't have perfect kids, but I could take a sample of my kids. I just use them because I know them. Even if they was in anything, they would not bring it in this building.
Mm-hmm.
Would nobody ever know whatever they done, it would not be done in this surrounding, a neighborhood, because my mama lived there, and mm-hmm. I don't want my mama.
Right.
this race, so I'm going to respect this neighborhood. If I'm going to do something, I'm going somewhere else and do it. So I think this is where the majority of the kids that have gone and have returned, they're going to respect this. Mm-hmm. And I think they get rid of all of the projects and build some decent places. Mm-hmm. They will come back with a better attitude.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you remained, you said that you were on that initial board back in the mid-60s, and have you remained involved in the community outside of your work? I mean, have you remained involved?
Yes, in everything you can think.
What kinds of things have you been involved in?
See, what am I in now? Of course, I tell you one thing. They do still have the Park Duval board. Okay, they do have that. But I couldn't sit on the board, of course, because I'm an employer. Mm. That changed, you know, in the years that come. Because I would be rating too much hell if things didn't go right, you know.
Right.
So they didn't want you on the board and work for the Health Center. So most of the thing I really do now is just anytime I'm needed to get involved in anything, there for them, you know, they can call me for any meetings. But we just do not have, and I think that's one thing too, that I miss more than anything, is really finding out how our community is really doing. We need another outside meeting. Because now here in this bill, I'm involved in this bill and seeing the things go right, seeing the things that we need. I sit on the board here. Mm-hmm. But overall, just knowing what's really, and I miss that, really knowing what's happening in my neighborhood.
And those, you don't have those kinds of community meetings anymore?
Now, like I said, in this surrounding, maybe once a month they have there. Well, we have our senior building, of course. Now I must go back. I could attend the meeting that they have for the overhaul of this what we call Park Duval Village. Mm-hmm. I use that. They do have an overhaul. That was just surrender. But I'm talking about beyond here, like over across that away.
The whole neighborhood, right.
To Parkland. See, when we first started, we was involved from not only Carlahoma and Southwick, we went to 28th and Greenwood over to the Park Duval whole era.
Right.
See, it's not on consist. Most people think you say Park Duval, you just talking about this. And at first it was just Carlahoma and Southwick. That's the only thing was Park Duval. But it's not that. It's the whole community. I'll wait till 28th and Broadway. I really think it's that far over. I don't know where the battle line, I forgot where it is, but we did consist that one time. We was concerned all the way to Virginia, Dumanet, what was happening to them people over there. And then I missed because I really don't know what's happening no more than right into this. Mm-hmm. And maybe because I'm getting too old to get around and find out what's going on. But I never hear of no call meetings, you know, but every one that we do have, now it's been what? Maybe almost a year, I'm not sure, that we had the mayor to come down and you met, people came from all from the border area to a great big meeting place, and because you had the mayor and everything was run by the city, they had booths set up where you could go and talk to about your problems. Because we're still fighting for a light that we had right out here. By the way, that one lady who was on crushes, Miss Baronka Hunter, I don't know what her name has came up in there or not. But she stood out there till we got a light right here at Duval School.
She just stood out there every day?
She stood out there every day in the street. So they finally gave us a light. Do you know now? So they built the structure, we've been fighting to get that same light.
Oh, because they took it down?
They took it down. And we're still fighting to try to get it back.
Back.
And they don't want to give it back. But it's the same amount of people, the same infects, probably more traffic, because from this light down at this corner, which would be Wilson, would be Hill, the next light is at Algonquin.
Right.
So you got traffic just floating. You got people just trying to get across the street. That is really creating a problem. You need a light.
Mm-hmm.
But they stuck the little thing out there or something, but that's not really working. So we still fighting on. I had a meeting today. I wasn't able to get off from work to go to the meeting today. I got to find out what happened in that meeting. Trying to get, well, we were trying to fight for security in this building because they said when we was to get this building that we would have live on security, you know, like security guards or something. But we haven't been able to get that back.
Mm-hmm.
So we fight for that, you know. So it's still a whole lot of work that we have to do in this community. But I can say that this community has really grown from what it was to a better place to live.
You said that going back to the original planning of the neighborhood center and the health center, going out and talking to people or being on the board, that mm-hmm. the issues were in the mid-60s were health, housing, jobs.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the main issues are now?
The main issue now?
Yeah.
I still think that the job is the issue that they mostly talking about now, job. I think houses begin to be a quiet situation because they're building houses everywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. It's the thing with that affordable housing is what you got to fight for, something that you can afford to rent, mm-hmm. afford to live in.
Right.
That's the main thing I think we would work on more harder than is affordable housing, not because we got houses, if people can afford to live in the houses after their bill.
Right.
Then the first thing would still be the health problem, because like I said, we got the pollution problem down here that's not going away. They fix it, but they put new equipment, whatever they say they put in there to keep the air from floating. But if you wake up in the morning and you try to walk out there, you can just feel the air is not fresh at all. It's just that horrible smell that you have mm-hmm. to wake up with every morning. Like I said, I cannot judge as an individual for myself, but I can see my family members being affected
mm-hmm.
by the pollution in this era.
And do you see the Black community of Louisville is especially hurt by that pollution, or is it does it affect whites and Blacks equally, do you think?
Well, you know, being honest, it's not but us Black down here, majority of us. You mm. know, we have white, but majority of us are Black.
Right.
So it helped affect the Black era. Of course, now, I understand over in the rubber town, there's quite a few white folks over there that has been sickling with it. But you take the overall picture, you have to say,
it's majority.
It's more Black.
Right, right.
And they have to be affected by it.
Right.
And one thing, I think that's one reason, because, okay, you can classify us all Black, but then that those that live there in Rubber Town, they consider us the poor whites, so they don't count either.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to look, they just as bad as shape mm-hmm. as we are, not taking the color out.
Right. So it's they more still, about power or lack of power.
Yeah, right. You still are not taking care of the community, whoever lives here.
Right.
They're getting sick over your pollution problem.
Interesting.
It doesn't matter. You can wipe the color off and you wipe all it. You're still getting sick. Whoever moved down here.
Right. So it's the poor. It's the poor that bear the brunt.
It's the poor.
Right.
I wouldn't say it's so much Black, like I say. It's just the poor.
Mm-hmm. But the way it breaks down here in Louisville is that that's mostly black folks.
Black era, you know, right. We all, but we're not, like I said, but I can see, well, like I say, I can, you know, and I often, and I'm trying to quit smoking, by the way, you see that pack laying there, but I'll smoke so long later.
You haven't touched it. You haven't looked at it.
Oh, no, I'm really getting out of it because I can feel it affecting me, you know. We can feel the thing affecting you, you know. And I would really be a poor person to speak against the tobacco people. They wouldn't want me talking because I don't feel that that's their problem. You know, nobody forces us to smoke at all.
Right.
You know. And it's a habit, sure. But I think it's more what we want. You know, lots of times people do not understand. They want to blame certain people for certain things. But like the pollution problem, that's a different thing. Because it's affected. We have no choice about that.
Right.
But we have a choice about smoking.
Mm-hmm.
We have a choice about drinking. This is something that we have the choice of. So, you know, that's why I would be bitter against suing the tobacco company because they didn't tell me I had to smoke. You know, I'm going buying them cigarettes. I'm wasting my money. And I know it's affecting my health, but I'm still puffing this cigarette. I can't fault the. And it's not. And they want to say, and I've been in America long enough to know this, and believe it or not, it's not because what they put in the cigarette. It's what your man wants you.
Yeah.
It's simple as that. But it comes down to solution. They want to blame this and blame that. But that's something I do not, maybe because I'm a smoker. And I know that my problem could be solved if I say I don't want to smoke this cigarette.
Right.
And make up my mind not to want to do it.
Right. But the pollution thing is totally different.
But now, it's totally different.
How has the city been as far as the pollution goes? Have they been responsive or...
You know, politics is just not my thing. I don't even like to talk about those folks. Because I think they're going to tell you whatever they're going to tell you to get in there. And once they get in, they don't give a damn, to be honest. If you can name a number one that really sincere and about doing something, I haven't found one. To be honest. Because I can hear, because I feel if they got that much power, they can change the thing. But see, they got somebody over them that's probably keeping them in office. You know, that's just my thing. I have an income down from the president all the way down. I vote because that's my right. But to believe that they're going to do everything they say they're going to do on television? No. Some things, yes. But all things they're not going to do. So, that's life to me.
Right.
It's just life. But I still say, only thing I say about this community that we went from worse to better, and they didn't make a better choice than to tear down the project and build these homes. And I hope not only here, I hope they can finally, sooner or later, go all the way down that street, all the way over, and build a community of nice-looking houses. See, once you build those, like I say, the kids is going to come back. They talk about trouble. You ain't going to have no trouble if you build nice places. The average black, believe it or not, is taught where they got father in the house. A mother's raising by themselves, a father raising by themselves. They've been raised. And they won't forget where they've been raised. But if you let them go on and you set everything up for them to live any kind of way, they're going to live that kind of way. But I've seen it change in this community. Even the street over here, what they call Hemlock, they still got their dope thing going. But they're not going to come over here and steal not one person. Car from this community. They're not going to do this. You might have one case. I'm going to say you ain't going to have nothing happen. But the majority of trouble that you used to have from people that lived over there, that still live in that community, they're not coming back over here and tear this up. Because they respect. They look at the cleans. Look, them people got decent place. They talk about it all the time. You can hear their conversations. You walk the street. Oh, it sure look better over there. It sure is nice over there. They don't want to have nothing nice. All they want you to do is move it on over here and make this nice so I can live like these people live over here.
Right.
Once they do that, you can wipe lots of crime out. They talk about other things, but it's the what you do. And I might not be saying, but what I'm trying to say, what you do to improve a thing and make a person feel better will make them want to do better.
So that really needs to come, though, from the city and HUD to improve these neighborhoods, in your opinion.
And we pay taxes, and we should be able, HUD or whoever, I don't know who these people are that control all that, but they make all these rules without having. That's one thing I liked at the first beginning of the health center that I can mention. 20% of that board was poor. We was able to express how we felt, what we needed, what we wanted, because we had lived. So we wanted better stuff so we could express what we wanted. That was 20%. When we went to Washington, I went to wherever we went to these high official people, we able to say, look, we ain't dumb, we smart. We might not have nothing. I might not even have a job, but I do have common sense to know I want to live better than this.
Yeah.
And they listen. But see, the majority of boys you have now do not even have the poor people on it. You, the people are talking up there that never lived like we lived.
Right.
So they can't, when we ask for something, they can't really feel it. But you take a bus like we did, I think at that time was how many of us on that board? Because we had a high man that felt that we needed to get to the right people, and that you also need a person that's going to stand up for the right thing, going to help you get where you need to get to talk to the proper people. And harvest along with that person.
Right. So it takes the right leader.
Takes the right leader. But then it took our force to spray these people. We need this health center. We got poor babies down here that can't see a doctor because they can't catch the bus to go uptown to a doctor. We need the older people cannot get on the bus and go to the general hospital for treatments they had to go every month to the doctor. Why not build us some place where they can go? You got other centers in the state. Why can't you give us this? Look, I got care. I got 7 babies. My kids are young then. I got to try. I don't drive. We don't even own a car. So I got to get on the bus with all my 7 kids and carry them to the doctor. How would you feel, sir, if you had to do this? See, you start talking to them people, they can feel where you're coming from. So that's how we got so much done. It took the poor to deal with the rich. To tell them they're concerned. And lots of them was really sincere in trying to help us because they understood after we told them. They understood these people can't live like this all life. Let's try to help them. Because now, you ain't got no money for this. You ain't got no Social Security money. But then you look. Y'all helping people overseas. Why not help your people?
Right.
You know.
So the funding for those programs, just you're not seeing it anymore.
No, you're not seeing it. They don't took everything. In the last 10 or 5 years, we have lost so much funding from different places. They don't have enough money. But you got enough money to do this. But it's because we don't have the same people will walk, stay up all night long, get proposals, write proposals. to get to these proper places. You just don't have people that even feel this anymore.
Right.
And it's because they've been so shut down. We don't have money. Yeah, you do have money. And the only way you're going to get this money, you got to walk, you got to talk, you got to pray, and you got to get together as a bunch of people and go. And once you go, you can get, believe it or not, most anything you want, but you got to. And that's the trouble why that, and that's one point that the pollution thing that worked, we haven't got enough people.
Right.
To stand up and say, yeah, I can't cough in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get up and breathe normal like other people that don't live in this part of town. I bet you get more help if you could get just majority of this, just the sort of this surrounding to go to a meeting.
Right.
Go and walk.
But that hasn't happened.
That haven't happened.
Have there been attempts to try and organize? Yeah. Why do you think that hasn't worked
because
in the same way that it used to?
You got younger parents now, younger people. They really don't understand. I want to put it that way. The importance of sticking together as a community. And we as older leaders didn't keep it going like we should have kept it going. We should have I believe in this. We should have had our kids taking our place.
I see what you're saying. So it's more individualistic now.
It's more individualistic now than it is community rise, right. You see. Because you call an average meeting here in this building, you take the rest. The people are just tired of thinking, fighting for things.
Mm.
But as black, we always going to have to fight as long as we are black. To get what we want. As simple as that. That's why I go to any meeting. You rang my phone now and said, can you come to a meeting tonight?
Mm.
I'm going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I know how important, but how many people do know how important? Because I have to fuss to my kids about going out to different meetings, getting involved in different things. Right. Oh, mama, what's the use? They ain't going to do this, they ain't going to do that. Yeah, they will, but you got to go and show them that you are interested. Show them that you want things better.
Right.
You can talk your tongue out there. People just not interested anymore. And I think maybe some reason too. They seen us work so hard. But look, we got some out of it if you just step back and look at it. We went ahead and have center.
Mm-hmm.
A few of us didn't stay up all night. I used to have to get my husband. No, he used to fuss like mad. Girl, you come here 1 or 2 o'clock, you ain't been in no meeting that long. Yeah, man, we had a separate right proposal till 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I get up and go to work the next morning.
Right.
But it was something we had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night, Friday night, they called. We'd all get together, stir and kneel, I never remember. Miss Hunter, the woman walking there, Rosemary Cook, it was just a bunch of people that just said, we got to do it. And I wanted my husband to leave me, you know. But then once he understood what I was doing, and I wasn't going to stop, you know, you got to laugh, I wasn't going to stop. Because I knew how important it was.
Mm-hmm. Do you look at your work at the health center then as a kind of an activism or neighborhood commitment on your part then?
Don't never ask my kids about part over me. I love my job. I love people as a whole. And I think we where I really stay at the health center. It gives me a good feeling to serve people. I'm getting something out of life just to help somebody, you know. Mm. Make sure that the health center keep their image that I have always dreamed that they keep in there. Praise to come in there. Let them be seen. Let's bill them next week. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But let's see them. Because that time they need whatever. I hear people say, well, you know, you smoke a pack of cigarettes, you can buy. You can get your pill, you know. You hear that? My response is, sure. But that's something that people don't understand yet, that they need their mess instead of cigarette. They hooked to these things, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You just can't take away when you need some medicine.
Right, doesn't
they
work that way.
They need
the
medicine. So we got to help them get their medicine. We don't worry about them. Right. But, you know. So I'll fight with them about that in a minute over there. But they, just like the board, the region board that's on there now still has two or three members that it might have originally been on the first board. Because Sterling just got off.
Right.
And I think they're going to remind the director that, no, we helped start this place, so we're going to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Where we, the purpose of it is to serve the people. Not us. We're here to serve them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's why the have to stand for its purpose now is because of those original board members is not going to never let it
right.
go away.
So it retains that original War on Poverty commitment. Yeah,
War on Poverty. We're still dealing with poor people.
Right.
Now we can open it up to the rich. That's why we got the feeding scale.
Right.
The rich can pay for their poor. The middle class can pay for their poor. But the poor can still have
right.
something that they can cleanse on to. So that's why you got your feeding scale.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't cut the poor people out.
Yeah.
And we won't. As long as folks have got breath in our bodies that are still around.
Yeah.
And a few of us are getting in that age now, but it's still a few that are still. Well, and Sterling's getting up there, because a lot of some had passed and went away. But you still got some that's still there
mm-hmm.
on
still
that
fighting.
Board.
Yeah.
That knew where the board began from.
Mm-hmm. This has been so helpful for me. I just want to thank you.
I hope it really has.
And
you know, I'm not a very, always telling people, I always say, you shouldn't say this. But you know, I never did. Get into the real high education talking. I just like to say what's in my heart
right.
and what I feel, you know, and not, it's just me. This has always been me. And sometimes I said, now, why didn't you go to school and finish, go to college a couple of years? And that? I always went for that. I just was to raise the kids,
mm-hmm.
get them grown. And so sometimes I tell people, you can be married to a man, but that don't mean because you're married to him that he's all the help you need.
Right.
Because
right.
it's not true all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
You still got to care that most sometimes they be right there.
Right.
So just a life I had to live.
Yep.
But my husband passed away a year ago. We made it this far. I kept him so the kids would have their father, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, now I'm enjoying life, you know?
Okay. Anything I didn't ask that you think I should?
No,
you thought
man,
I might
not
ask?
So
or
much.
That?
No, I didn't think my ass. I thought this is easier than what I thought it was going to be. Because really, like I was telling Dick over there, you know, he's the director. I said, you know, we have no really secrets. If I said something, it wouldn't be no damage to, you
right,
know?
Right.
I have no secret. You know, if y'all got something, y'all need to let me know.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
But anytime you work at a place, and you know, and I thought it was my obligation to let him know that I was going to talk. I didn't know what I was going to talk about. But I know Paul Duval going to be involved. So I'll let you know I'm going to talk. I hope that I don't say anything to damage you. But I don't see anything I can say. But it would be harmful, you know.
Right.
What happened at the beginning happened, you know.
Mm.
And we are doing well. We are really going well, so.
Good.
I don't like them. We ain't perfect, but
right.
We're doing well. Some things I still don't like, but I'm going to still be that open my big mouth. So.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure. You were very nice.
Oh, well, thank you. And